Luke chapter 2, I'd like to begin reading with verse 8, and this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Many of us could just about quote it without reading it, because we hear this passage of Scripture every year during this time. But I hope this morning can be a blessing to us. And we begin reading with verse 8. It says, "There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Good tidings of great joy is our title this morning. And we think about this time of the year and what makes this time of the year so special. We shared with you just a few moments ago in the prayer request how that there's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of problems and there's a lot of difficulties and there's even death. We shared with you a tragedy that was found its way through the airways of people that are hurting. And we look around and we see troubles and we see problems in every way. And those that don't know Christ could say, what's joyous about this time of year? And if I didn't know Christ, I might be thinking the same thing. Because you see so many things that's happening around us. We see so much hatred. We see so much bitterness. We see so much anger. We see so many things that's happening around us. And with this announcement that was made that we shared with you just a few moments ago with the Scripture, there was problems then too. There was even the words that the angel began with. It says, "Fear not, for behold." So there was some fear there. And verse 8 tells us that that the shepherds were keeping their flock, and if you know anything about shepherds, they weren't the individuals that everybody wanted to bring home for supper, if you know what I mean. And so they weren't necessarily well liked. And the angel of the Lord came to them, and the Bible says that they were afraid. Well, there's a lot of things in this world that can cause us fear. But you see, I believe that joy, that was to come, and being announced goes far beyond our present circumstances. You see, we live in our present circumstances many times because that's all we know. We know the past and we know the present. And so in those circumstances, that's where we are. We hear about our future. We understand that we're going to have a future and thank the Lord for that. But we've never been in the future. Now, my mother threatened me to send me to the future, but it never happened. Y'all never did that, did you? Tell your kids I'm going to send you into next week. You don't have to confess. This isn't confession. But we don't understand our future. We know our future. But I believe that when we're in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be far beyond what we could ever dream. It's going to be far beyond what we could ever imagine. I couldn't even imagine waking up in heaven without being concerned about something. That's what we do every day. We wake up and we're concerned about something. It could be finances. It could be where we're going to get our next meal. It could be, a health situation. It could be, do I have enough strength to walk down the hall? It could be a family member. It could be a child. It could be so many things. We wake up and we're concerned. But when we're near the presence, when we go in the presence of the Lord, there's going to be no more concerns. And I can't imagine how perfect life is going to be. Because we don't understand perfect. There's only one that is perfect, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't comprehend. Because we have bad thoughts, we get angry sometimes, we get frustrated sometimes, we don't understand those things. But one day, knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to get to experience. And so therefore, I believe this announcement and this joy and this, as we title the message, Good Tidings of Great Joy, goes far beyond the circumstances of that moment. And that's why I say we that are in Christ, even though we see all these tragedies and we have all these hurts and we have these difficulties, and yes, we even deal with death, we can still have joy in our hearts, and we can still understand that this announcement was full of joy because of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, the world would be in serious trouble. You think we've got troubles now. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, this world would be in serious trouble. Mankind would have absolutely no hope without Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And the scripture says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And then he tells who that Savior is. Christ the Lord. Great joy goes beyond because we have a Savior, which is Jesus Christ. Who is the Savior that brings joy? I'd like to share with you a few thoughts this morning, just wanting to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And we that know Christ, may we rejoice in who Jesus is. And if you don't know Christ, may this speak to your heart that you want to know who Jesus Christ is. You see, that's the wonderful thing about salvation. If salvation depended, and maybe this is where people are struggling. Maybe they're struggling because God made it so simple. Because we have the idea, when we work a job, we have to work to earn that wage. We have to, we have to do something. But you see, what Jesus Christ is to us and our Savior, we do nothing except for accept Him as our personal Savior. It doesn't require, because if it required us to do anything but believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I personally would be in trouble. Because I would fall short every time. I would fall short daily. So who is this one that brings joy? Who is this one that the angel said unto the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Who is this Jesus? Well, let's look at the babe. Behold the baby. I just read to you just a few moments ago, verse 11, where it says that Christ was born. And not only was He born, He's our Savior, and we know Him by name because He is Christ the Lord. There's a song, and some of you might know this song, but there's a song that was written, "Wonder of Wonders." And I'm going to read to you the chorus that says, "O wonder of wonders, oh how could it be that God became flesh and was given to me. The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, He died for my sins." The song expresses this thought. She held Him in her arms, the one that created her. Isn't that amazing? She held in her arms the one that created her. My mind can't comprehend that, the magnitude of that truth. But we know, you see, our Lord, it's true. His birth was amazing. Never has there been a birth like this one, and never will it be repeated. Birth in general, to me, is amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how all the things take place and how that a baby is conceived and comes to life. It's amazing to me. But you know, when you stop and think about it, life is amazing. If we're not careful, we can take life for granted. But life is amazing. But yet, how much more is the birth of Jesus Christ? How much more amazing is the birth of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 7:14 says, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Notice, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. His birth was amazing. No wonder this announcement was made and they said, good tidings of great joy. Look beyond our circumstances. Look beyond where we are and understand we have a future. And that future is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you see, Christ didn't stay a baby. So He began to grow. And we say this as, behold the Son. Behold the Son. Luke chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible says, Now His parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the customs of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple. Now this is a young boy. And they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast Thou thus dealt with us? Behold, Thy father and I have sought Thee sorely. And notice what He says. And He said unto them, How is it that ye sought Me? Wist ye not that I must have been about My Father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was a subject unto them. But notice Mary. But His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And we say, behold the Son. His parents were very mixed with their emotions. They knew who He was, but yet they were to take care of Him. And they were very mixed with their emotions. So they sought to find Him. And then when they have found Him, the Bible says that they were amazed. They were amazed at this young boy. They were amazed at His teaching. They were amazed of His learning. They were amazed of His listening. In all aspects, they were amazed. Do you realize? And I thought about this statement that I'm getting ready to make. But Jesus was in the presence of the doctors and the scholars, and He was there in the temple. Do you realize that they could have asked Him any question, and He had the ability and the knowledge to answer? They could have asked him any question, and he could have answered. You see, he was the center of attention. But I make you a challenge this morning. He needs to be the center of our attention. Amen. In our lives. Amen. He needs to be the center of our attention. Because there's so many robbers in this world. There's so many things around us that rob us of that attention. And if we allow that to happen, that's when we become discouraged. That's when we become troubled. That's when we become fearful. It's when we take him out of the center of our lives, and he needs the center of our attentions. His parents were amazed, and yet they were concerned. They had searched for Jesus. It was clear that Mary's understanding was limited, just like our understanding is limited. But she never lost sight of who he was. She never lost sight of who he was. Never lost sight. I read to you the verse again, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." It's easy to lose focus when our focus is on the things around us. The birth of Jesus gives all men hope if we would just look to him. You see, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we rejoice this morning because of that. We rejoice because there's a song, there's a gospel song that says, "When he was on the cross, I was on his mind." Isn't that wonderful? Behold the man. Behold the man. John chapter 19, 4 and 6, the Bible says, "Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye might know that I have found no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." There have been some amazing things that has been accomplished in this world. Some amazing accomplishments. Did anybody say this morning when they got up, "I don't want the light"? We're grateful for the light. Did anybody say, "I don't want my car this morning"? We're grateful that someone created. Did anyone say that they didn't want their electricity? When the phone was created, it's just amazing in my lifetime how much the phone has changed. When I grew up, I still had two cans and a string. And now I've got a phone that'll talk to just about anywhere, anywhere. Anywhere, anytime. But you know something? No matter what man, and no matter what accomplishments, nothing could ever compare to Jesus Christ. Nothing could ever compare to Jesus Christ. One man put it like this. "He descended that we might ascend. He became poor that we might be rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He had no home that we might have a home in heaven. He was hungry that we might be fed. He was bound that we might be free. He died that we might live. You see where the good tidings of great joy come from? They come from Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What an announcement that was made. And then lastly, this morning, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, the next day, John seeing Jesus cometh unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We have hope this morning because of Jesus Christ. A sacrifice had to be given. And He took on Himself our guilt and our shame, and He became sin for us. If I can put it plainly, He simply took our place. That's how much He loves you. They sang about His love this morning. I echo that and realize and want you to realize that there will never, ever be anyone that loves you like Jesus. No one will ever love you like Jesus. The gifts that is exchanged with loved ones and friends and family show love and appreciation. That's this time of year. But they could never compare with the gift that Jesus Christ has given. They will never compare with the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He gave Himself. In the midst of trouble, He gives peace. In the midst of sorrow, He gives joy. In the midst of guilt, thank God, He gives forgiveness. In the midst of sickness, He gives healing. He gives healing. In the midst of death, He gives life. And He gives salvation to all who will believe. You see, Jesus was the announcement that was brought when the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That all people is us this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And we say this morning, what a Savior. But we understand that there's some that's never believed. They're struggling with that belief. They might say things like, well, you know, I can't live it. I can't either. There's no way. I cannot live. I am not, and you are not, a perfect person. There's only one that's perfect, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you watch me long enough, you'll see a lot of mistakes, and you'll see a lot of shortcomings. And I tell you, don't look at me, but look at Jesus. Amen. Look at Jesus. There are people that don't know Christ, that don't understand the joy that we have in our hearts during this time of year, even in the midst of tragedies and heartbreaks and difficulties. But we can still have joy in our hearts because we know the Savior. And that's what it's all about. It's not for this hour and this present time, because our circumstances can change as soon as we walk out the door. But our joy is in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that He's provided. And He can provide you salvation, that you that don't know Christ, that's never said, I accept Christ as my personal Savior. One of the greatest quotes in the Scripture was found in Acts chapter 16, when the jailer realized that there's joy in salvation even when someone was in prison. They had been beat. They were in stocks. And they sang praises at midnight. And there was a great presence of the Lord. And the jailer was going to do himself harm because he thought there were those that had escaped. And it was said, no, don't do yourself any harm. We're here. And he said some of the most wonderful words, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And all they said was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Nothing else. Nothing more, nothing less. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for that this morning. And that's why it's good tidings of great joy. We're going to close in prayer, and the altar is going to be open. And if you want to come and pray, maybe you're carrying a burden. Maybe there's something that you just need to talk to the Lord about. Now is the time. And there's someone here this morning that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. I beg you this morning to seek Jesus. Do as the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll show you how to be saved. And if you're burdened for someone, I invite you to come. Look, someone prayed for me, and I'm grateful for that. I was thinking about it just the other day, and there was one of a teenage friend. I was raised in church. I was raised with a believing family. My father was a preacher. But it wasn't until someone else invited me to church and to a youth group, and the most unlikely event, that I realized that Friday night that I was on my way to hell. When you take your last breath and you don't know Christ, there's no turning back. It's eternity. And hell is the destination. We don't like to think about it, but it's true. Hell is the destination. It's too late then. But I accepted Jesus Christ. And I knew, and you know, if you're saved, you know what I'm getting ready to say. But that burden of sin was lifted. And He can do the same this morning if you just come. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that You'll help us this morning. Help us to not lose sight of what we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that that good tidings and great joy isn't necessarily on our circumstances, but it's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to look beyond that and find joy in Jesus. Father, we earnestly pray this morning that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, no matter who it is, will they come and receive Jesus and believe. That's all we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus. And Father, if there's someone that's hurting this morning, burdened this morning, that just needs to come and talk to You, Lord, I pray that they'll be willing to come and not look at the time, but just be willing to come and talk to You. We ask Your blessings on this invitation, and we step back, and we want Jesus to get the glory. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brother Mike, what number?
Number 278.
278. Won't you come? Won't you come?
Jesus is tender.